who we are in the Lord and who the Lord is. And just the first two words, Shema Israel, tells us that we are a people who listen and act, and that we are Israel, a people of Adonai. And it doesn't matter if you're Jew, if you're born Jewish, or if you're born Gentile and grafted in, you are part of the Jewish history now. And even more important, the Jewish history is now part of you. You get to claim it as your own. When you get to claim Messiah Yeshua and Adonai and that and the desire to live out Torah, it becomes your history as well. And in Ekev, Moses continues telling us our history. So let's jump right in. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 15. So the first couple of verses, first few verses of this week's portion. And then it will happen, as a result of your listening to these ordinances, when you keep and do them, that Adonai your God will keep with you the covenant kindness that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the produce of your soil, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and of the young of your flock, in the land he swore to your fathers to give you. From all peoples you will be blessed. There will not be male or female barren among you or your livestock. Adonai will remove all sickness from you, and he will not inflict on you any of the terrible diseases of Egypt that you knew, but will inflict them on those who hate you. It is the history. It's not only the history of our people, it's our history and it's our future. For when we take hold of Torah, he will bless us. His word says it. I believe it. As with Smith's Wigglesworth said, he said it. I believe it. That settles it. I believe the same way. So we quickly start getting into our history. And our history so far is good. It says it'll happen that you will follow. It's good. But it starts turning as he goes on. And in chapter 8, we start seeing a glimpse of who we really are. In fact, by 11 and 14, 8, 11 and then 14, we start seeing some of the cracks of who we are. So let's read on through 11 through 14. Take care that you don't forget Adonai your God by not keeping his mitzvot, ordinances, and statutes that I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and silver and gold multiplies for you, and all that is yours multiplies, then your hearts will be haughty, and you will forget Adonai your God. He brought you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. We're going to be a bit haughty, a little proud. We're going to say, it's us who did it. Boy, we went from, it will happen that we follow his words, and we're slipping and sliding down to, you're going to become haughty when you get everything that you want. But that's not all. It just starts snowballing on us as a people. By Deuteronomy 8, 19 and 20, we're sternly warned. This was just a little warning. Now we're going to get sternly warned, almost threatened. It says, Now if you do forget Adonai your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you will certainly perish, like the nations Adonai made perish before you. So you will perish since you would not listen to the voice of Adonai your God. Wow, we are just sliding backwards according to the word. It started with such a good word. And then it was a warning, and now it's a stern warning. And boy, if it doesn't sound like God doesn't threat. Here's what I can tell you. God doesn't threaten, because what's a threat? A threat is something that may not come true. God doesn't threat. He tells us when we're going wrong, and he tells us what will happen if we go wrong. If he says it, it's true. That's the difference between a threat and a real warning and stern warning. So that's what God's doing here. Now, by chapter 9, we're still in our Torah portion, chapter 9, Moses tries to get our head back straightened out, and he starts correcting us by giving us instructions and tells us what we should do in order not to be haughty and why we shouldn't be haughty and why we shouldn't be proud. Deuteronomy 9:6. So you should understand that it is not because of your righteousness that Adonai your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Hey, guys, it's not because of how wonderful you are that you're getting my love and the land. It's not because of the things that you did that I care for you. So don't go be getting all prideful of yourself. It's a word for us today still. And then things kind of just really fall apart. Because then Moses, he has to bring it up again. That molten calf. That time he went up to the mountain for 40 days and our people totally blew it. Totally walked. I can't even say they walked away from God. They ran. They didn't even remember the things that just happened. 40 days? That's not that long. But they made a molten calf. Now, during the beginning of this portion, we're told two things. First, it's not who you are, or it's not what you did to get God's love. In fact, in the big picture, you look at the whole thing, it kind of says, you're nothing. I'm nothing. But at the same time, it says, you're everything and you're loved. It's as if we're just one cell of the whole body. The body will live on even if a cell dies and falls off. It happens to us all the time. Cells die and fall off, but the body lives on. But the good news is, God loves each one of the cells. He loves each one of your cells, just like he loves each one of us as part of the body of Israel. Even Moses, the great Moses, the one who was able to see God face to face, even he was only a cell. He died off, but the body lived on. Because God loves every cell, and he loves the body. Those of you who know Yeshua and his love know that the love for each cell is very apparent. He lived out, it was lived out in the Torah portion today that we read. It lives out today because it was lived out 2,000 years ago on the stake with nails. It says, and we know this verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God so loved the world, his body, the whole body, that he gave his one and only Son. And I'll add for clarity, now I don't add and subtract from Scripture, not doing that, but I'm adding for clarity, for the sake of each cell of the body. Because that's why he came. If you were the only person on earth, if you were the only cell he ever created, he still would have gotten up on that tree, that executioner's stake, just for you. That's his love. So, here's the question we have to ask. Is each individual everything to him or nothing to him? We die, we fall away, the body lives on. What are we? Well, in Mishnah, there's this story that a man should carry two notes in his pockets, one in each pocket. And in one pocket, it says, it says, for you, the whole world was created. It's a reminder of his love for you personally. For you, the whole world was created. In your other pocket, you carry a second note. And in that one, it says, but I am but dust and ashes. It's a reminder to tell us that we're everything and yet we're nothing. But here's the truth. You're never really nothing. The Mishnah may say, you're everything and nothing. But here's the truth. When you're in the love of God, you're everything and you're everything. You're never nothing. His love is so great for each cell. His love is so great for each person. His love covers everyone, every cell. It's so very great. God speaks to the nation as well as to the individual. So when he says the body and the individual, when he says the body will live on, the individual is going to live on for those who know Messiah Yeshua and trust in him, for those who heal, those who walk with him, as we said in the Torah portion. So in Deuteronomy 17 through 19, he's speaking to the individual and the nation. Adonai is speaking to both. And it says, suppose you say in your heart, these nations are more numerous than I. How can I drive them out? You are not to be afraid of them. You are to be sure to remember what Adonai your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and wonders, and the mighty hand and outstretched arm by which Adonai your God brought you out. So will Adonai your God do to all the people you fear. God was speaking to the Israelite nation at the time. They were standing at the border, ready to go into the promised land, knowing they were going to have to do battle. And he was speaking to the nation, don't worry, I'm with you. But he was speaking to the individual as well. Don't worry, I'm with you. And he speaks the same way today to each of us and to a nation. The Shema was that same example. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. He was speaking to the nation of Israel and he was speaking to the person of Israel. And it's the truth. It's just as true today. When you read Scripture, he's speaking to a whole nation, and he's speaking to you personally. Which is why, so often, you can insert your name into Scripture, and it still makes sense, and it's still true, and it's still, and it just focuses it on you. Hear, O Carol, that the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Hear, Stan, that the Lord is God, the Lord is one. Hear, Larry, the Lord is God, the Lord is one. It's true no matter whose name you put into it, and it's true for the nation as well. Scripture is personally written to you. You know, you've heard Scripture is a love letter to you. Well, it's true. It's not just a book written for a nation. It's a book for you. You might as well write on the cover of your Scriptures where it says Holy Bible or Scriptures, whatever it says on it. Right underneath it, you should write the book for and then put your name on it. Because that's what it is. It's the book for you. It's the book so that you know His love. And it's the book so that you know His instructions so that we don't get put out from His presence. So that as we go into our battles, and how many know we have battles every day? So as we go into our battles, we know what to do. Now Israel was about to go into battle. So is Karen Orr about to go into battle. Karen Orr is a congregation. It's just like the nation. It's the body. You are part of the body. But you're also the individual. In Israel, the individual was the person, the warrior, about to go into battle as they went into the promised land. People of Karen Orr, you are the warrior about to go into battle as we bring the promised land to others. That's the call of Karen Orr. Israel was going into a land where the people were lost and they were to be overthrown by Israel. You're going into a land of people that are lost, but instead of bringing death and defeat to them, you're bringing good news and victory to them. You're called to take on their little g gods so that you can give them the big G God and the victory. We're being sent into battle just as they were. You all know the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Yeshua came up to them and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Ruach HaKodesh, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We're not to the end of the age yet, are we? The ages are continuing. The times are coming still. So, if we're not to the end of the age, He's still with us. And He's with us in the form of the Ruach HaKodesh. He says, go and teach them Torah. And don't worry, because all authority was given to Him, and therefore He's sending you out with that same authority. He says, don't be afraid of what to say. And I know that's not easy to do for most of us. Luke 12:11 and 12 gives us that little bit of courage. It says, and remember, I told you, you can put your name on these scriptures too. So when they bring you to the synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry how you should defend yourself or what you should say, because the Ruach HaKodesh will teach you at the time what is necessary to say. Now, when you're witnessing to somebody, doesn't it feel like they took you in front of the rulers? You know, they're there, and they want to press their point, and they want to prove to you why you're wrong, and they have all this world stuff coming against you. And you go, God loves you. And then you're, and it's like they're bashing you. And I understand it. It's scary. But you have the Word of God. And you have the Ruach HaKodesh inside you. And He will tell you what to say at the right time. You have the Word of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, and some teaching here that you're going to be getting and that you are getting. Every time you hear a message, it has a little bit more that's going to build you up for when you go out to do your witnessing. Every time you get built up by the Ruach HaKodesh, it builds you up a little bigger so that when you get in front of a little G God, it looks like a little G and not some great wall. It looks like that little G that you can defeat because the Ruach is in you. We're not to fear. Joshua 1, 7 through 9 tells us, don't fear. Again, it was told to Joshua. It was told to the nation of Israel. It's being told to you. Only be very strong and resolute to observe diligently the Torah which Moses, the servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so you may be successful wherever you go. This book of the Torah should not depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will be successful. Have I not commanded you? Chazak! Be strong! Do not be terrified or dismayed, for Adonai your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you in the form of the Ruach HaKodesh. Chazak! Be strong and resolute! Because why? It says, because of Torah observance. So what do you say when someone says, Torah doesn't count anymore? Yeah, but wait. That's where we get our power from. That's where we get our authority from. No one has ever done away with Torah. And no one better try. It's where we get our strength on our resolution. It says, Chazak, amatz, be strong, be good courage. That's where we get our strength from, the Torah. And it's the same Torah in the Old Covenant as it is in the New Covenant. Isaiah 51:7 says, listen to me, you who know justice, a people with my Torah in your heart. Do not fear the taunt of men, nor be dismayed by their insults. How many of you have spoken to unbelievers, and they just want to taunt and insult you? Well, first of all, don't be afraid of them. You have your Torah in your heart. That's why you can put up with it. And second of all, if all they're going to do is taunt and insult you, that's the time to shake the dust off the hem of your garment and walk away from them, because all they want to do is waste your time. You're not going to get to them. If they're insulting and taunting you, that is not the person who you want to be witnessing to. You've planted the seed. Move on. Don't waste your time and your spiritual energy on someone who's just going to taunt you and is not going to engage in a proper conversation. But we hear the same message in the New Covenant. So it can't be, you know, it's not something that's, oh, that's just old. No, here it is in James 1:25. But the one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom and continues in it, not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he shall be blessed in what he does. You will be blessed in your witnessing when you have the Torah with you. It says it right there in James. It's the Torah that gives freedom. Why do we share it with others? Because it'll give freedom to them as well. There's going to be a time that we go out and do outreach. I know I've been speaking of it pretty much since we've been here, since I've been here. It's going to happen. We're preparing for it. We're preparing spiritually for it. We're preparing physically for it. We're preparing mentally for it. It's going to happen. There will be times when we're going to get together as a congregation and we're going to meet in a park and we're going to go out and find people. Now, you may be doing that as an individual currently, and that's great. Keep doing it. You may be people who haven't been doing it yet, but now may be the time to step forward individually and do it. Great. Go to it. But as a congregation, we're getting prepared. Don't be scared. We're getting prepared. We're going to reach out to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And we're going to reach them both. But we're going to allow Adonai to build us up first. We may never get comfortable talking to other people. I spent years in collections on the phone. 10 years I spent in collections on the phone. And I was pretty good at it. I didn't browbeat people. But I could talk to them. But I got to tell you, there's always that little nervousness that comes, no matter. When you go and you face someone, and you are going to tell them something that you know they don't believe, but you believe it, speak boldly. And we will speak boldly. So we may not get comfortable, but we will get comfortable with the word. We may not get comfortable speaking to people, but we will get comfortable speaking culturally sensitively to them. So why do we change our dialogue? Never our message. Never the message. But why do we change our dialogue a little bit? Why do we use Yeshua instead of Jesus? Why do we use synagogue instead of church? I prefer scripture over Holy Bible. Why? Because it's a culturally sensitive way of speaking. So why do we do it here? So that we're used to doing it when we're out there. That's why. I mean, there are other good reasons. I just had a conversation this week with someone about the name Yeshua. You know, and Yeshua has a real meaning to it. It's a word that means salvation. Jesus is a name that something's been attached to, but it doesn't have a meaning to it. It's not a word. It's a name. It's a name. It's okay. I'm not offended by it. Some people, I'm not offended by it. But Yeshua has an additional oomph behind it in reality, especially to our Jewish brethren. So that's why we start getting used to using culturally sensitive words. Not comfortable with it yet? That's okay. You will be. Don't worry. We'll go get there. Why will we get there? Because the Ruach HaKodesh is with us. And the Ruach HaKodesh is strong. And the Ruach HaKodesh is powerful and mighty and true all the time. Amen? Amen. So you may say to yourself, I know it's the truth, but I'm nervous about going out. That's okay. That's okay. First of all, I'm not going to handcuff any of you and drag you out to a park. That's not happening. But when you're ready, and you'll know when you're ready, there will be an explosion in Savannah, an explosion in Bloomingdale, an explosion in Pooler, an explosion in Port Wentworth, all around us, there will be an explosion that brings people to Messiah Yeshua. You're going to be part of it. I'll guarantee it. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you that you have a plan for us. We thank you that your word tells us, Chazach, Ametz, be strong, be of great courage. And your word says it, so we will be. Your word says your love, so that we know that it's true. Your word says you're merciful, and we know that it's true. Your word says to go forth, and we will. We will. We thank you that your Ruach HaKodesh is within us. Ruach, we thank you that we can trust in you. We thank you that you're powerful. You heal us physically. You comfort us. And you hug us at all times. It's like a physical hug. I can feel your love around us. Thank you that you love us. That you never leave us. You never forsake us. And that we can take up your power and your authority. And when we walk out in your power and authority, we know great things are going to happen. So, we just praise you and honor you, glorify you, and we look forward to the great things you have in store for Karen Orr and for those who are watching on the live stream. Because you watching on the live stream, this message was meant for you too. I may have said Karen Orr a lot, but you are called to go out and reach the lost as well. So I know that you can do some great things as well. Now, if you're watching on the live stream right now, I'm going to ask you to do something. And everyone here, listen up, because I'm going to ask you to do the same thing later today. Follow us on Facebook. Like us. Share the message. And it's not because I want to see Karen Orr have a lot of likes. It's not a notch in a belt. It's an extension of the God's word reaching out to the lost. So we just want as many people to hear it as possible. So if you're not following Karen Orr, please follow Karen Orr. And when you see the message online in Facebook, or like it, make a comment about it. Share it, because you're sharing God's word. I truly believe that, and I hope you do too.